Get your Bible ready. A young preacher's coming. Get on the edge of your seat. Have an amen ready. When you hear something good, don't be afraid to respond. That'll encourage the preacher. I remember the first time that I was given opportunity to exercise the gift. And I had made preparation, Brother Tim, for that purpose. I thought I had 30 minutes worth of information. And I think in about 3 to 5 minutes I was done. Now I'm hard pressed to get 30 minutes worth of information delivered in 45 minutes to an hour. I wish I had some of that young, nervous anticipation that I had that first time. But we'll see what the Lord does with Alan here. Alan, are you ready? You come. We're praying for you, son. How many of you have had a role in Alan's life over the years? You've watched him grow up in the Lord. You have had him in Sunday school class. You have had him as a part of the youth group. We talked about some of the Sunday school teachers. Miss Kerr is here through Victory Christian Academy, the principal, Brother Merrill. Raise your hand again. You've had him involved in one of your ministries here. Isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Praise the Lord. I saw you here yesterday serving with Hope and Highview alongside of us. I appreciate you coming up to do that. And you didn't have to do that, but I know that's your heart. Dad was not telling us anything different about your heart being tender to the Lord. And as long as you keep that spirit about you, I know the Lord's going to use you mightily in His work. Tell us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. We'll start there. That'll be our text verse for the evening. So, those of you who don't know me, I'm Alan Roberts. Grew up in this church all my life, basically. Went to school here for a couple years and moved to Micah after that, and now I ended up here preaching. So crazy how life works when Jesus is around.
You know? Amen. So,
yeah. So, but my message this evening is entitled "Giving Thanks." It's you hear giving people saying, "Well, I always give thanks." Well, true, but when do you give thanks? Do you give thanks all the time, or do you just give thanks once a day? I mean, it's a priority to thank God for what He's done. I mean, you're sitting here today breathing. You got up this morning. What if that didn't happen? Where would you be? So, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18. "In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let's go to prayer. Jesus, we thank you for allowing us to come out here, Lord, and learn about you, Lord. I ask that you would please help me, Lord, and give me the words that you would speak, Lord, and ask that you, if this message is for somebody this evening, that it would bless them, Lord, and that it would lead them to you, Lord, or it would change their lives, Lord. So please help me this evening, Lord, that this message would be great and it would be a blessing to everybody here. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
In this verse it says, "In everything give thanks." In everything. Pretty simple word. In everything. Every, all. All means all, that's all means. God doesn't say, "Well, give thanks in the morning and then at night." No, He says give thanks in everything. You can have the greatest day of your life and think, "Oh, well, I don't have to be thankful for that." You're still to be thankful for that. Because you can have a great day all day until right before you go to bed and something bad happens. You still have to give thanks. You could have the worst day of your life. You go to work or school and your boss is yelling at you and you didn't do anything wrong. You know, you're on your way home and it's raining. Then you have a flat tire and you're pulled on the highway trying to fix it out in the rain. God says, give thanks.
Amen.
You're alive. You know, you could be dead at that point, but you're not. But this evening I have three people that I want to show you that gave thanks in bad times. And so if you would turn to Jonah chapter number 2, we'll just read the whole chapter, shall we? But Jonah, you guys all know the background of Jonah. He was a missionary to all parts of the world. And so one day God called him to go to Nineveh. And Nineveh was a wicked city. God didn't even like Nineveh. God despised Nineveh. It was wicked, sinful. I mean, Nineveh was just terrible. And Jonah did not want to go. So, not answering God's call, he turned away and ran. He tried to get on a ship to Tarshish, but as you all know the story, a storm came by. They cast lots, and Jonah he got thrown overboard, and great fish come by and swallowed him up. And so, this is where we're at right now. He's inside the fish's belly. So, Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and all thy waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward the holy temple. The waters compassed me about even to the soul, the depth closed me around about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake thine own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. The word thanksgiving in verse 9, that is the word I want to look at. I mean, all Jonah went through, he was a missionary, and he turned away from God. And then he got swallowed by a fish, great fish, into the belly. And he still gave thanks. So if you're having a bad day and your tire's flat, and you don't want to give thanks, well, Jonah got swallowed into a fish. That's not the great day you want to have. And he still gave thanks. So there's no reason for you not to give thanks. The word thanksgiving is like psalms or praise. It's the same thing as saying that. So basically, he praised God in the belly of a fish. He gave thanks. He sang. He did all that in the belly of a fish. And some of us can't even do it in our own house. Come on. There's a problem with that. I mean, be thankful with thanksgiving. That's my first point this evening. Be thankful with thanksgiving. I mean, like I said, you can have the worst day of your life ever. I mean, bad things could be happening. I mean, you can hear on the news that somebody got killed, someone in your family died, and they were very close to you, your friend died, and all this is happening. God says, give thanks. If they were all saved, you're thankful. They're going to heaven, you'll die, you'll see them up in heaven one day. That's no problem. At all. That's no problem with me. But, I mean, just give thanks. Praise God. Sing to Him. Say, Lord, I love You. Thank You for giving me. I mean, thank You for allowing me to breathe this morning. Thank You for allowing me to wake up. Thank You for allowing me to give legs to walk. There's people in COVID Children's Hospital that don't have legs to walk. They can't walk. They're in a wheelchair. They're laying in bed for the rest of their life. We have legs to walk and come to church. Some of us don't want to because we'll say, oh, well, I don't feel like it. Well, kind of have to. I mean, church is there for a reason. If church wasn't there, then where was God? God made church for us to worship Him. So that's a problem. Turn to Psalms 26, chapter 26. This is David. When he wrote the book of Psalms, this is one of his Psalms he wrote. This is about thanksgiving and Psalms chapter 26. Don't say it'd be a familiar chapter, but it gets the point. Psalms 26, chapter 26, verse 1. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord. Therefore, I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart, for thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in the dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so I will compass thine altar, O Lord. Here's the verse. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell all thy wondrous works. God wants you to give thanks. He wants you to go out and thank him for everything he's done. Tell people about it. Thank him for it. You know, he says right here, and tell of all thy wondrous works. God's done a lot of works in the whole Bible. I mean, your life, my life, everybody. He's influenced everybody. He died on Calvary's cross for everybody. If you can't thank God for that, you can't thank God for anything. I mean, that's what it's all about. That's what we're here for. I mean, Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, and then Jesus came and died for us. If Jesus didn't die for us, we'd just all stay here, die, and go to hell, and that's the end of it. That's pointless. There's no point in that. So God had to come down, die for us, to allow us to go to heaven. Without that, we weren't allowed. We were just sinful. We were, you know, completely wicked. And that was a problem in God's eyes. God doesn't like sin. God hates it. There's 7 sins that are abomination to God, but it doesn't make them different than other sins. God still hates all sins together.
Amen.
So, and that was my first point tonight. Second point is 2 Samuel chapter 22. This is, many of you know how David came to be king. Samuel come by to Jesse's house, and God told him he was going to anoint the king there, and so he asked for all of his sons, and he come all of them up except David. David was out still in the field. So he saw all of his brothers, and the Lord said, none of these are it. And so he was like, well, Lord, they're all tall and big and muscular, and you know they're ready to fight and all that and serve you. But God said, you're not looking in the heart. You're looking on the outside appearance. God looks into the heart of people. And so he asked Jesse if he had any other sons, and Jesse said, yes, I have one other one, David. And he was out tending the sheep. So they bring David in, and it says that David had a ruddy appearance. He was short little fella, not much, but God said, that's him. You know, God can choose anybody. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verses 48-51. It is God that avenges me, and that bringeth down the people under me, and that bringeth me forth from mine enemies. Thou also hast lifted me up high, on high above them that rose up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. He is the tower of salvation for his king, and sheweth mercy to his anointed, unto David and to his seed forevermore. Verse 50, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. David went through a lot of trials in his life. After he became king, he displeased God at times. I mean, the sin of Bathsheba, I mean, his son died. Before this chapter, he had a son, and God was going to kill it. And so he fasted the whole time. He didn't do anything. And finally, the child died before it was birthed. And so after that, he cleaned himself up, and he worshiped, and he fasted, and he ate. And then later on, he wrote this Psalms of all of his trials. And so, I mean, many of us go through trials. I mean, you could be serving the Lord at one time, and then the next time you're going through this big storm, like everybody around you is just not what they used to be. And so that's your trial. I mean, we're on the mountaintop, and then we're in the valley. And when we're in the valley, that's when God's there the most. That's when we need God the most. That's when you thank him the most. You say, oh, thank you, God, for putting me in this valley, because without the valley, you couldn't get to the mountaintop. I mean, the mountain's not just there and it stays there. You have to go up and down sometimes. It's like a roller coaster ride. You go up and down and up and down. Without going up and, you know, without going to the mountaintop, I mean, you have to come from the valley. And that's where your trials are at. David went through so many trials, and he wrote the book of Psalms, 150 chapters, the biggest book. That's saying something. He wrote lots and lots of Psalms. And he went through a lot of trials. He thanked God for all those trials. I mean, without that, what would he be? I mean, we all go through some type of trial. I mean, we could lose our house. I mean, you bought a house, and then you're like, oh, this is a great house. You start getting your bills paid up, and the next thing you know, you're bankrupt. And then you're about to lose your house. And then you're like, God, why'd you do this? Well, there's a purpose for that. Everything happens for a purpose.
Right.
To everything, there's a time and a purpose. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. You know, there's times for everything. I mean, if you could be losing your car as well, you'd be like, well, now I no way to get to church. Well, call somebody, walk, ride a bike. You have thank God for everything. I mean, you have a way of getting to place. You have a way of getting here. You just refuse to get there. I mean, that's a problem. So David had trials, and he pushed through them. And James chapter 1, look there and show you what I mean. James chapter number 1. This is one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Yeah. He followed Jesus. If you want to read up on the apostles, that's pretty good. They gave thanks a couple of times, but they just weren't all that great for God. But he used them in a mighty, very mighty way. But James chapter number 1, verse 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. That's diverse temptations. Those are your trials you go through. When you fall into a temptation, you end up sinning, and that will end up into you're going into the valley of trials. And it says right here, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Basically saying, give thanks for that. That's there for a purpose. God wants you to give thanks. Trials will come, but you still have to give thanks. I mean, bad things happen, you thank God for that. Good things will come out of it. I mean, trials are just there. You can't stop trials from coming. You can't say, well, I haven't had a trial in a couple of years. Well, then you're on the mountaintop for this time part. Coming soon, you will have a big trial to come through. And at that point, that's when your faith is tested. That's when God wants to say, hey, what are you going to do? Are you just going to sit there and pout about it and crawl up in a corner and, you know, just sit there and just wait for me to do something? God's not going to do it all by himself. He can, but he gave us free will, which means we have to put some effort into it. God's going to say, well, here, you just go back away. I'll do the rest. I'll do all of it. No, he said, okay, I'll do this part if you do this part. And if we don't do this part, well, he's not going to do the other part. It's just, you know, he's a good negotiator, if you know God very well. He negotiates really well. You make a promise and you don't keep your end of the bargain, well, he said, well, I'm not going to keep my end then. If you don't keep yours, I won't keep mine. That's how God works. You do what he tells you to do, and then he'll bless you. He'll give you things. He'll say, okay, now I'll work. Now I'll do this. Unless you, if you just don't do it, just say, well, he'll do it. No, he won't. You've got to do it. You have to put some effort into it. It's like, well, you know, he called me to preach and all that, but yeah, I'll just let him, you know, do all that. No, you have to answer the call. You can't say, well, God called me, so that's okay. No, God called, you answer. There's no call and just let it go away. I mean, it's like a cell phone. An answer calls, and it's someone you have to talk to. You can say, I'll just talk to him later. No, it's like if God called you. Are you going to answer it, or are you just going to hang up and let it ring?
That's good.
What are you going to do? I'd answer it and say, hey, what's up? What do you want? And do what he said, you know? It's just like everybody that calls you. You want to answer it. I mean, if it's an unknown number, well, then, yeah, that's probably Satan because you just don't know. But it's going to specifically God. G-O-D. That's God.
Yeah.
Give thanks in trials.
Yes.
My third and last point, I mean, I gave you Jonah, missionary, and he turned his back on God. That's pretty big. But still gave thanks. Some of us can't do that. David. Lots of trials was, you know, shepherd, little boy. And you know, shepherds in the Bible, they were like the lowliest of everything. Nobody liked them. They were just dirty all the time. They always messed with sheep. But David wasn't always the one who was just messing with sheep. He took out a bear with his bare hands, killed a lion with his bare hands, and then took out like a 9-foot giant with a slingshot. We can't even take out a bee's nest by ourselves. Come on, that's a problem right there. So, but Daniel, chapter number 6, Daniel will be our last point of the night. Daniel chapter number 6. And Daniel is a very, very good character in the Bible. You know, the story of the den of lions, and then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and King Nebuchadnezzar. But this is during the reign of Darius. And you all know the background of Darius and how at this point Daniel's getting ready. Chapter 6, he gets thrown into the den of lions, but we're going to be before that. And Darius is setting up the princes over all of his kingdom, and he prefers Daniel over all of them. Daniel went through Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar, and now Darius. And so Darius says, well, this guy's good. He's gone through two different kingdoms before me, so he's got to be a really smart guy. The only reason he was smart is because he had God on his side. None of them had God on their side. So, but he set up 120 princes, and Daniel was above them. If anything happened in other parts of the kingdom, they told Daniel. Daniel went to the king to tell. They didn't like that. They went to tell the king themselves. So they were trying to find ways to get rid of Daniel. And with God on your side, that's really difficult, because he can do about anything and everything. Amen. So they were just trying to find different ways, and they found a way. They had Darius make a decree that any man make a petition of any god would be thrown into the den of lions. If any man would worship any other god or praise any other god or thank any other god, then Darius's god, the idol, not the real god, then they would be thrown into the den of lions. Well, that's where we are now. Chapter 6, verse number 9. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So then it was made. And now when Daniel knew that writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Even though he knew a decree was made saying he couldn't do that or he'd be thrown into the den of lions, he still did it. I mean, there's a law out there, the First Amendment, freedom of speech, and some of us don't even go out in the street and praise God for that.
Uh-oh, come on.
The king made a decree. The president here can't make anything. It's the Congress. The king does it himself. He did that. If the king made the decree and you disobey it, the punishment was basically death. Daniel didn't care. And the punishment here isn't death, and we don't even do it. We're scared of that. Daniel wasn't scared, and if the punishment was death, he said, well, I'll just go to heaven. We're not like that. Punishment's not death here. But punishment here was thrown in the den of lions, which is basically death. Daniel wasn't scared of that. Daniel wasn't scared. He knew he had God on his side. And it said that he gave thanks. We didn't just give thanks. He gave thanks three times a day, every time he prayed. Some of us only pray once or twice a day and don't even give thanks those two times. Well, Daniel was different. Daniel gave thanks three times a day, not just morning and then for my breakfast and lunch and dinner and then before I go to bed. He gave thanks three times a day. And even when there was a decree set out that you couldn't, because he didn't care. He knew God was on his side, knew God would deliver him. Amen. So, I mean, he was persecuted basically for that. He had people out to get him saying, you can't do this or we'll kill you. Well, he didn't care. He said, I'll still do it. And Acts chapter 5, I'll show you an example. Acts chapter number 5. This is the beginning of Acts. This is when Luke wrote it before the Apostle Paul came along. And this is when all the apostles were together. And this is actually the chapter right before Stephen was stoned, I believe. But Acts chapter 5, verse number 40. And to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple, in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. They departed from the presence of the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's the same thing as Daniel was. He was, you know, he suffered shame for Jesus' name, thrown into the den of lions, but he was thankful for it. Same thing here for the apostles. They were beaten and walked away saying, hey, that was great. I'm glad that they beat me for that. At least it's for Jesus Christ and not me for going to a rock band concert or whatnot. I mean, it's just, Jesus is the reason for everything.
Amen.
They served Jesus and then they got persecuted for it. They were happy. Jesus was happy. If you're not getting persecuted for serving the Lord, then there's a problem with that. I mean, all the apostles, Peter, for example, wasn't really the greatest apostle. He was in the Peter, James, and John, that three group, right and below, with Jesus. But he had a mouth. He put his foot in his mouth a lot. He just spoke whatever was on his mind. And that's a problem with a lot of people. I mean, if it's on your mind, you just say it, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Gotta watch that. But here, all the apostles were beaten, and they were happy for that. That included Peter as well. So Peter was actually happy to serve the Lord at this point. And, I mean, for Peter to actually be happy to serve the Lord, it was pretty good. Because you remember, he denied Christ three times.
Right.
Apostle to do that, you think, you know, maybe he didn't really serve the Lord. He did serve the Lord.
Yeah.
I mean, he was with them for, you know, 3.5 years of service with them. Watched them die on the cross and everything. Ran to the tomb. And he denied Christ, but it didn't matter. He was still serving the Lord. He got persecuted for it and walked away happy, knowing that they persecuted him for Jesus Christ, not for any other worldly thing. He was happy for that. And that's the same thing for Daniel. Daniel knew that the decree was there. He knew that people were trying to persecute him for his praising and thanking God. So he still did it. He didn't care. He wasn't worried about it one little bit. Of course, he understood the king's decree. He knew the king very well. They're close friends. It said Darius preferred him, so he was very liked. I mean, Darius loved Daniel probably. And so when Darius, you know, made that, he knew that he would have to get rid of Daniel, but Daniel wasn't scared. Daniel prayed to God, gave thanks for the decree, knowing that he would be thrown to the den of lions. And as you know the story, he goes in, and God shut the mouths of the lion.
Amen.
That's big. I mean, there's no den of lions around here, but there's people out there that are like lions. They just want to eat at you. Well, you pray and you thank God for them. God will shut their mouths. You don't have to worry about them.
Amen.
Not one little bit. You can go up and talk to them. They won't nap at you. Snap, you know, try to get at you and, you know, try to get you to say mess up on your Christian walk. You just pray and thank God for them, and you won't have to worry about it. That's what God's there for. He's there to lead you down the path. I mean, if, of course, it might be a little windy because of your trials, but it's going to go straight some way or the other. Mm-hmm. It comes to two paths. Well, you go the same path you were walking. You don't try to, oh, this one looks good. No, this one looks good. This is the good one. This is God's path, not your path. It's God's path. If you don't go God's path, there's a problem. You thank God for everything he's done. I mean, in 1 Thessalonians it says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. It's God's will for you to give thanks in everything. It don't matter what it is. I mean, you can be going through, you know, the worst trial you've ever had in 10 years, and you still thank God for it because something's good's going to come out of it. You can be getting yelled at from your boss saying you're a terrible Christian, you don't love God. Well, then you tell him, I do love God. And then you pray for him, and you thank God for your boss that he's there. Because God's forgiving. God's ready to forgive. So, I mean, you give thanks no matter what. That's the point I'm trying to get across here. Because there's people I know that they say, well, yeah, I give thanks. Well, how many times do you give thanks? Probably once or twice a day. That's not enough. In everything, give thanks. Daniel gave thanks 3 times a day and prayed, and probably gave thanks more times than that. David wrote Psalms, thanksgiving, all through Psalms and some 2 Samuel. And, I mean, he went through a lot of stuff, and he still gave thanks. It didn't matter what it was. It didn't matter if it was his dad died or all of his brothers died in war. He gave thanks for it and wrote Psalms about it. Jonah was in the belly of a well. That stinks, literally. Smells terrible. And he gave thanks. The well vomited him up. That's not really nice when you get vomited out of something, because you're probably going to smell terrible. And he still gave thanks for it. God did that for a reason. I mean, because he ran away from Nineveh, from God, to go somewhere else far from Nineveh. The fish swallowed him and then vomited him on his path to Nineveh. That was the purpose of that. If that great fish didn't swallow him, he probably wouldn't have got to Nineveh. But he might have got there. He would have been cleaner than he was. He wouldn't have smelled as bad. But, I mean, the fish was there for a reason.
Right.
God's there for a reason. You give thanks for that. I mean, Thanks to God. That's all he wants. He wants you to thank him, and he will bless you for it. You thank him, and he blesses you. It's just a circle of life. You thank him, he blesses you. You thank him, he blesses you. That's just how it works. That's how God works. He's simple and easy, but we take it so complicated. We over-exaggerate it. It's simple. Read the book. Read the book, and you'll get it. It's not that hard to understand. We just over-exaggerate. Oh, this word's too big. Well, look it up. That's what God's there for. God made dictionaries for a reason, so we can understand this. And he made it into English so people can understand. Because, I mean, I know people are like, well, this Bible's hard to read. It's at a third grade reading level. Third grade. And 10th graders that I know can't understand all the words in it. Well, of course, you can't understand the words. But third graders can read this Bible. That means 90-year-olds can read it. 15-year-olds can read it. Anybody can read it. But you don't always understand it. That's what God's there for. To help you understand. To help you walk your daily life. Walk your Christian walk. To thank him. You know, he will bless you. Like, oh, well, thank you, God, for giving me this day to walk to church when I don't have my car. And thank you, Lord, for, you know, this great day. I'm glad it's not raining. And, you know, thank you, Lord, for allowing me to be healthy. I'm not sick in a hospital dying. And, you know, thank me for allowing me to actually live under this bridge where if it rains, I won't get as wet when I don't have a house. You know, I mean, Hope and Highview yesterday. I mean, there's a lot of homeless people out there. They probably might give thanks. I mean, if I was homeless and I was saved, I'd probably give thanks because I'm not dead, first. I'm saved, going to heaven when I die, so I don't have to worry about that. And if it's raining and I'm under a bridge over an overpass or anything, I'm fine. I'm not getting wet. And I'm not sick. I mean, I'm breathing. I can walk to places I need to get. I thank God for that. And you know what God will do if you do that? He will bless you, so he might bless me. Be like, oh, well, here's enough money to get you a food for today. Or, oh, somebody happens to give you a bike, and then so on and so forth. And it just builds up from there on. And then next thing you know, you're this big-time preacher, and you started out as a homeless person. It can happen. Pretty sure it can happen. It's probably happened a couple of times. It just, God's there for a reason. You give thanks, and God will bless you. I mean, I know I've been blessed a lot. I'm pretty sure everybody else has been blessed. It didn't take me long to make the sermon, but making the sermon, I thank God for allowing me actually to make a sermon. Because there's people like, well, I can't really make a sermon this, you know, like this and all that. But you thank God for it, he'll give you it. You read, you pray, and you think, he'll give you the sermon. So, I mean, but Jonah, David, and Daniel, three men in the Bible that gave thanks through hard times. There's a lot more men I could go through, but these three men just came to my mind when I was making the sermon. So, but like I said, God's there for a reason. You have to thank him.